Lord, I thank you that you're going to speak to me today. Holy Spirit, I open my heart. Speak into my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe today the Holy Spirit's going to say something to you. And my question is, will you listen? Will you listen? You know, I think a lot of times we get so used to going to church, hearing messages, even loving messages and good messages, and we get up out of church and we walk out and we don't ever think about it again. You know, one damaging thing to pastors, preachers' egos, that within 72 hours you will have forgotten 90% of what's been said. And that's very damaging to our egos, because we spend so many hours preparing to speak to you and knowing that you're only going to remember about 10% of what's said. I want that 10% to be what the Holy Spirit speaks into your life. And I am trusting today that He is going to say something to you that will help you with your walk with Him. And I don't know about you, even through this series that I have taught, the Holy Spirit has shown me some areas of my life, of my heart, that I've not guarded like I should. And I am making changes in my life so that I can guard my heart. Our series is called Heart Rate. Heart Rate. And we're using as our text Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And it says this: guard your heart above all else. Now, all else means all else, doesn't it? Guard your heart above what you guard your bank account, above what you guard your house. You lock your house at night when you go to bed. You know what you're doing? When you leave your house, do you lock your house? Why? You're guarding your house. But this says that we should guard our hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Your very existence comes out of your heart. It comes out of you. And I don't think that there are... Well, I think there are many, many Christians who never guard anything. They don't set filters up to guard their hearts. And I think it's very important, if we're going to live the kind of life that we're called to live, that we learn to guard our hearts. Learn how to do that. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how do I guard my heart? Now, we've talked about how that the heart is very, very important. We talked about there's three reasons that we're studying this, is because that your heart is extremely valuable. It is the most valuable asset that you have, is your heart, your inner man as a Christian. It's your inner man. The second reason is because it determines your whole life. It's not your outside circumstances that determine your life, because outside circumstances can change and are subject to change. But you know where those changes begin? They begin in our heart, on the inside. See, Christianity is not an outside to inside thing. It's an inside to outside thing. And we've often said this, that if you don't like what's going on out here, change what's going on in here. And it starts with challenging everything that comes in through your gates, your eye gate, your ear gate, your sense gates. You've got to filter that. You've got to have a filter for that. Now, Proverbs 4:23 from the Amplified says, "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life." And the ideal here is that there are things that flow out of you that is life. And we've talked about that. And if you haven't been here for previous messages, go online at believerscommunity.org and you can listen or watch either one. You can watch and get caught up on this. But the first week we talked about this, that your heart affects your world and your world reflects your heart. My heart affects my world and my world reflects my heart. I can't blame my wife. I can't blame my circumstances. I can't blame my parents. It's a heart thing. Christianity is a heart thing. It's all about the heart. Say that with me. It's all about the heart. And it really is. It's all about the heart. Out of your heart are the courses of life. Out of you flow the courses of life. Last week we talked about what the heart looks like, and we compared it to a garden. And we talked about that the seed that we sow determines the crop that we grow. You don't plant watermelons and get cantaloupes. You don't plant grapes and get tomatoes. You can't sow thorns and get good things. So who is it determines the course of our life? We do. Our fellowship with God, our relationship with God, through that, we determine the seeds that we sow into our heart. God has given us the stewardship of our heart, of our life. The way that you control your life is by controlling your heart. Today we're going to look at a different picture and that Paul gave us in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you want to go ahead and turn over there, we're going to be looking at that in just a minute. But there was a great illustration that he used that was relevant to that day. It's probably not relevant to our day, but it was real relevant to the day that he lived in, because they understood about armor. Armor. You've heard about the armor of God, and he used the Roman armor to teach about guarding the heart. He talked about the Christian life and how to protect ourselves. And it was not a physical armor at all. I know we've teaching our kids, and even in things where they teach on the armor, says, okay, now everybody put on this and put on that. No, it's not external. Spiritual warfare is not external, it's internal. And see, the third reason that we're teaching about guarding the heart is because it is constantly under attack. Your mind and your heart is constantly under attack. You have an enemy arrayed against you, and he knows that if he can control your thinking, your thoughts, your perceptions, your feelings, that he can control the course of your life. You can holler, Jesus is Lord, all you want to, but if you're not listening to Jesus, if you're listening to the enemy, who is in control of your life? You know, and somebody needs to hear this. One of the reasons that the Bible talks about forgiveness is this right here. If I will not forgive Jim, and I hold... That's that first row stuff again. If I won't forgive Jim, and I hold aught in my heart against him, and I have anger or a grudge or something in my heart against him, who controls my heart? Does Jesus? No, Jim does. But if I will release him and forgive him, guess what? Jesus can control my heart. But as long as I hold aught against somebody, I cannot be in control of my own life. Now, let's look in Ephesians chapter 6, and hopefully we got it up. Did we get the scriptures? Okay, good deal. There are some admonitions here before we get into this armor. There are six pieces of this armor that we're going to talk about real fast. I may come back sometime and just do a whole series on it, a six-week series, but I'm going to give you all six of them today, fast. So you're going to have to listen fast, because these are the filters that we have to have in order to live the kind of life that we need to live. But he said something in Ephesians 6:10, and he says this, a final word. And he says this, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, there are several Greek words that are translated power, and three of them are in this verse. It says, be strong. That word is in duo dunameo. In other words, it says to be endued with power. When it says be strong, he's saying, okay, be endued with strength. And dunamis describes raw power. It's talking about something that is very powerful. We get dynamo out of that word. We get dynamite out of that word. So he's saying, be endued with dynamite. It compares God's power, our strength in God, as like dynamite. Not a firecracker, dynamite, TNT. So be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And the idea that that word mighty has, is the connotation of dominion. There's a dominion. Remember, we talked about it in the first week of this, how that God gave dominion to Adam over the garden and over his heart. And it's telling us to be endued with power so that we can operate in the dominion that God has given us in His mighty power. And the other word, it has to do with our influence, the powerful dominion influence that we're supposed to have as Christians. See, we're supposed to be powerful as Christians, but an unguarded heart is powerless, because a person who doesn't guard his heart is not in control of anything. He is being controlled. He's being controlled. And God does not want us to be controlled. He wants us to be in control in Him. So be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Let's look at that. That word put on. The ideal is to put on like clothing. Now let me ask you a question. You got up this morning. Most of us are adults in here. Who put your clothes on? Who put your clothes on today? The subject of this is you put on. And the Greek word means to put on like clothes. Put on. And the ideal is that it's something. It's not something that God does. God doesn't put the armor on us. Who puts the armor on us? We do. It's our responsibility to put the armor on us. It is our responsibility to set the things in course of our lives that help us guard our hearts. So it says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. Stand firm. It doesn't mean hold out. It means to triumph. To stand firm, to hold your ground against all the strategies of the devil. Now, the King James says wiles, and that's an interesting word because it comes from two Greek words, meta and hodos. Meta means with, and hodos means a road traveled. So the ideal here is that the way that the enemy tries to work in our lives is that he tries to get us to take a mental journey with him that leads down a particular path. Now think back to the Garden of Eden. When Satan came at Eve, he took her on a mental journey that caused her to fall away from God. He says, did God say? Did God say? Did God really say that? Is that what he meant? And then he finally said, you know what? If you'll eat this, you're going to be like God. Well, duh. She already was like God. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And he appealed. See, he took her on a mental journey. And he used the eye gate, the ear gate, and the sense gate to take her on this journey. And he got her to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he was able to get her to let down all the guards of her life and Adam's life. And guess what happened? Sin took over. So this is what the enemy wants to do to you. See, he comes at you with a thought. He comes at you with a thought. And his ideal is that he is going to get you to take a mental, emotional journey with Him so that He can control your heart. And guess what it's up to us to do? It's up to us to put on the armor. Okay? Let's read on. So that we may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Now, that's a big lesson that we need to learn. That's a huge lesson that we need to learn. Our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Look at the person next to you and say, "You're not my problem. You're not my problem." He won't. "Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said about me." Can I tell you something? Satan uses people. Because 90% of people's hearts are unguarded. And they are easy prey for the enemy. But it's not the people that your problem. You got to understand that there's something behind that that you need to recognize and think, "Okay, Jim, you're not my problem. You may have offended me, but you're not my problem." And he didn't offend me. I'm just picking on him. But when you get caught up in the fray of flesh and blood and you allow offense and unforgiveness to get in, your enemy stands back and enjoys the fight. And all along, guess who's in control of your heart? He is. See, you can call yourself Christian all day long, but you're not acting like one. You're not functioning like one. Your heart is unguarded and you are easy prey for the enemy. If your fight is with any time with flesh and blood, then your problem, you're not going to see the source of your problem. You're not going to be able to stand firm. You're not going to be able to resist. You're going to be easy prey for the enemy. Get on Facebook sometime and see how many unguarded hearts there are. You can see it. You can hear people talk. And you can know immediately if they're guarding their heart or not. Okay. I'm preaching good. Holy Spirit's talking. Are you listening? You better be, because He's talking to you. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's who our fight is with. We have an unseen enemy that does his best to control our hearts. And he doesn't care if you ever recognize him or even if you recognize that he even exists. If he can use people to control you, that's what he'll do, and you'll have no defense, because really your fight's not with flesh and blood anyway. It's with the enemy behind it. And one of the greatest defenses that we have is to recognize that. Now, there are six pieces of armor, quickly, that we're going to talk about. And I want us to see this. And it starts with one. If you looked at a Roman soldier, it starts with something that doesn't even look like a weapon at all. If you looked at, and I wish I'd have gotten a picture of a Roman soldier. But I mean, he has on this helmet and he has on this breastplate and he has on these shoes that come up past his, that protects his shins. And he has this shield that's as tall as he is. And he has a sword. And all of those, you can see how that they're weapons. But the very first one doesn't even look like a weapon. And you know what it is? It's a belt. A belt! Why did he start with something that doesn't even look like a weapon? A belt. Thank God for belts. My belt gives me security. Especially when I'm standing in front of people. My belt makes me feel secure. You know why? Because it holds my pants up. I don't want pants on the ground. You know, that's not something that I want. But this is called the belt of truth. And it's amazing that the weaponry starts with something that's called truth. Everybody say truth. That's where it starts with. Everything, all of the other pieces of the armor have to do with truth. And I'm just going to tell you, it begins with truth and it starts with the word and it ends with the word. It starts with the word and it ends with the word. The greatest filter, the number one filter that we have in life to put on the armor is the belt of truth. Now that belt, it held the breastplate in place. It had a scabbard on it for the sword. It had a hook on it for the shield to rest on. So it was a very important piece of that armor. In fact, it was the center of the Roman strength was his belt. It was not imposing. It didn't look threatening. It didn't seem to be defensive or offensive, but it was central to the strength of that soldier, and it was truth. And let me tell you, the strength to the Christian life is truth. Everything needs to be predicated on the basis of what is true. Now we know what truth is. It's the Word of God. You know, the very first thing that the enemy attacked with Eve in the Garden of Eden? Did God say? He challenged truth. And if Satan can challenge truth in our life, we are easy prey for him. You know, I've heard people say, you know, there's parts of the Bible that I think is true, and there's parts of the Bible that I just don't know about. Well, you know, I understand there's parts of the Bible that I don't like. Just keeping it real. There's parts of the Bible when I read it, I'll just say, God, I don't like this. And I'm not talking about things that get on my toes. I'm talking about some stuff in the Old Testament that I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that's terrible. And I've heard people say, well, you know, what part of that was God and what part of that was man? Listen, unless we are willing to accept the Bible as the inspired Word of God, we have no defense against the power of the enemy. I don't have to understand all of the Bible in order to accept it. I have to trust that, you know, God is the author of it, and there are things that I don't like and things that I don't understand, but I have to accept those things as the truth, whether I like them or don't like them. When we come to the point in our lives that we begin to pick and choose things from the Bible that we think are true and things that may not be true, we are in trouble. Now, I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. But that's true. We have to accept the Bible as the Word of God. It is truth. It is central to our faith. It is central to everything that we believe. It is central to our defense. It holds every other piece of our weapon. Without the truth of the Word, we have no defense. You know, the reason that I am not what I was raised is I went to a seminar one time, and this guy gets up and he talks and says, now, he give a history of the translation of the Scripture. When he got through, he held the Bible up and he said, I did this to prove to you that this is not the Word of God. It contains the Word of God. Okay? Who decides what is and what isn't? Is it just left up to our own whim? If it is, we have no defense for our enemy. See, our weapons have to be sure. Now, we need to be in a constant state of discovery of truth. Truth is built on truth. Line upon line, precept upon precept, truth is built upon truth. Truth is multi-layered and multi-dimensional. We need to be students of the truth as Christ followers. And let me encourage you. You need to feed yourself beyond the Sunday service. You need to feed yourself beyond life group. You need to have a habit of putting truth into your heart. You need to have that habit in your life. If you do not have that habit in your life, you're not going to be as strong as you need to be. Your filters are not going to be where they ought to be. God speaks to you through His truth. Now, the second piece of armor is called the breastplate of righteousness. Let me read a true scripture to you, because it's something that we need to see here. John 17:17 says, "Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your truth, your word, which is truth." Then John 8:32 says this, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What is it that sets us free? What is it that frees us from our enemy? It is the truth. Now, I want to read one more where this is concerned, because I want you to see something here. Then I've got to move really fast. Because sometimes people will say certain things to you that may not have to do with Bible per se, but they'll say things to you to get you to be offended. Or they'll say things to you that may try to hurt you or affect you or control you. Can truth still be our filter here? I think so, because let me read in Philippians, because I think this is really good. Philippians 4, verse 8. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true." Well, it is true that they did hurt my feelings. Is that what you're going to fix your thoughts on, though? Okay? What does it say after that? "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." See, if you keep your mind on things that are half-truth, are offensive, what does that do to your heart? See, it breaks it down. But if I refuse to think on those things, well, so-and-so don't like you. Well, I can say, well, I don't like them either. You say, well, that's true. They don't like you. But that's not what I'm going to think on. I'm going to think on that God loves them. You know why? Because that's true. And that's honorable. And that's pure. See, we want to justify our offenses. We want to justify our bad behavior and our other things. And all it is, it's not people, remember? It's principalities behind people who are trying to get you to let the guard down of your heart. Because if you let the guard down of your heart, you lose control of your life. And the course of your life is changed. And you may be a Christian, but there is no evidence of your walk with God. Okay, so the breastplate of righteousness is the next thing. And I want to read some verses real quick. Say righteousness. Philippians 3:8-9 says this. "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith." Now, let me just ask you the question. How do we become right with God? It's through faith in Jesus. It's not on me being good. It's not based on my past. It's not based on my performance. It's based on God's grace. Now, how is that part of the armor? What does the enemy do when he comes at you? He'll say, "Look at you. Look at you, oh righteous one. He'll put a thought in your, the enemy will put a thought in your mind. He can't read your mind. Did you know that? The devil can't read your mind. But he'll put a thought in your mind and condemn you for thinking it. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get you to not act righteous. He's trying to draw you out of the area of righteousness into an area of condemnation. Because if he can get you into condemnation, he will control your heart. You know why I'm righteous? It's not because I'm a preacher. It's not because I'm a good guy. I'm righteous for one reason, that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have become the righteousness of God through faith in Him. It is a free gift. And that's the only reason that I'm righteous. That's the only reason that I'm in right standing with Him. And you know what? When the enemy comes at me accusing me, I can say, you know what? Based on truth, based on truth, it is written, guess what? My breastplate deflects that. I don't fall into condemnation. Why? Because I have endued myself with the armor. The third thing, and see, and it says that righteousness leads us to peace. And I love this. Philippians 4:6 says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Say God's peace. God's peace. Which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know what my peace is based on? First of all, it's based on truth. Secondly, it's based on my relationship with God, which is a gift of righteousness that I have through faith in Christ Jesus that leads me into a position of peace. And if I will live in that peace and walk in that peace and go before God with that peace will become the guard of my heart, and the enemy can throw what at me he wants to, but I can walk in peace. Now, peace is pictured as what? Shoes. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I can live in peace. I can walk in peace. Why? Because the truth says that I have been made the righteousness of God of Him. That is a place of peace. And it says in Colossians 3:15, we didn't put this one up, that it says, let peace rule in your heart. And the ideal there is let peace be the deciding factor. Let peace be the umpire in your life. You know what peace will lead you? It'll guide you. You know where it'll lead you? According to truth. Truth is so important. Truth, righteousness, and then peace. The next thing is called faith. The shield of faith. Now help me here. It says with the shield of faith, we can quench all of the fiery darts. You got to be careful how you say that. Fiery darts of the enemy. Where does faith come? First of all, it comes out of truth. It's reflected in my righteousness with God. I can have confidence because I have right standing with God that's not based on my performance. It's based on my relationship with Him through faith that gives me peace. And I can act in confidence. And when the enemy throws a dart at me, you know what? My shield of faith deflects it. It deflects it. The next thing is called the helmet of salvation. And this is not talking about being born again. This is talking about renewing our minds with salvation truths. This is talking about wholeness. It's talking about deliverance. It's talking about all of those things that come to us because of our right standing with God based on truth and peace. See, this is progressive. This is the filter that God puts in our lives to keep our hearts and minds protected so that we can bring forth the fruit that we're supposed to bring forth as Christians. So that next thing is thinking salvation's thoughts. If the devil can get you away from those things, he can control your mind. In fact, he'll sow his thoughts in your mind. And guess what? Thoughts are seeds, and seeds produce what? They produce the harvest. Well, I'm a Christian, but what's your harvest? I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm saying, what's your harvest? What are you producing? What is your life producing? It needs to be producing the kingdom. Now, the next thing, which is the last thing, is called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now catch this. Where do we start? We started with truth, which is the Word, and we end with the Word. But there's two different thoughts here. In the Greek, there's two different words for word. One is logos, the other is rhema. Logos is the general revealed word of God. It is general truth. It's truth in general. Truth of the word of God. It's true. That's what we get out of the Bible. That the Bible is the logos. It contains the rhema. The rhema is the quicken word. It is the specific word. It is the single word. It's the word that has gone through the process of truth, righteousness, peace, faith. And it is the word that proceeds out of the mouth. And it is the only piece of armor here that's mentioned here that is offensive. It's the offense. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? He had fasted for 40 days and nights. It says he after was hungry. The devil comes to him and the devil says, okay, if you're the Son of God, do this. You know what Jesus said? He said, it is written. One of the things he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That word was the word rhema. You know what Jesus was doing to Satan? He was taking the sword of the Spirit and he was dealing with his enemy. He had a revelation. And you know what? When you set these filters in your life and truth is important to you and it's a filter for you, and you go through this process, the natural thing that's going to come out of you is revelation. It is empowered word. It is the sword of the Spirit, and it will undo your enemy. I'm going to read one verse and we're going to pray. Jesus said this in Luke 6:43. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. As a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart, for what you say flows from what is in your heart. In other words, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart in abundance? Are you mad? Are you offended? Are you hurt? Do you have joy? Do you have peace? See, what comes out of your mouth is a reflection of what's in your heart in abundance. If you don't like what's out here, you've got a problem back here somewhere. And it starts with truth. Somewhere you have believed a lie. And you've sown a lie in your heart. You got to go back to truth. You got to go back and put the armor on. You got to go back and find out what the Word says. You bring it through the filters of your relationship with God and peace and all of this. And then your heart will be filled with the Word of God, and you will speak out your own victory. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. We got to pray. We started the service and we prayed this prayer. And we said, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. So my question to you today is, and I want my prayer team to come. My question to you today is, what did the Holy Spirit say to you? What did the Holy Spirit speak to you today? You cannot afford to ignore what the Holy Spirit said to you today. You need to deal with it. There's a couple of ways that you can deal with that. That's why we have people up here for prayer. If there's something that you need to pray about, they'll be glad to pray with you. If you need to make Jesus Lord, they'll be glad to pray with you for that. If it's something that you can deal with at your seat, some adjustment that you need to make, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has said to you today, you better take it serious. See, we've prayed and we believe that God is going to speak. And when God speaks, we need to listen. Because if we ignore God, then we're in trouble. Father, thank you today that you love us. Thank you that you love us enough that you speak into our lives. And you bring correction. Because you want us to be on course. You want us to be fruitful gardens. Thank you for speaking to your people today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?